What does it mean to live well? This question has haunted humanity for millennia, and Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics offers one of history's most compelling answers. Unlike modern self-help that promises quick fixes, Aristotle presents a profound vision of human flourishing that remains revolutionary today. His central insight? True happiness isn't found in fleeting pleasures or external achievements, but in living excellently according to our nature as rational beings. This isn't just ancient philosophy. It's a practical framework for navigating life's complexities with wisdom and purpose. When we examine our various pursuits, wealth, pleasure, honor, we discover they form a hierarchy, each desired for something beyond itself. But this chain must end somewhere, with something we desire purely for its own sake. This ultimate good, Aristotle argues, is eudaimonia, not mere subjective pleasure, but objective flourishing. As he memorably puts it, one swallow does not make a summer. A brief period of joy doesn't constitute happiness any more than a single warm day constitutes summer. True flourishing requires excellence sustained over a complete lifetime. Imagine walking a tightrope between two dangerous cliffs. This metaphor captures Aristotle's doctrine of the mean, the idea that virtue lies between opposing vices. Courage balances between recklessness and cowardice. Generosity sits between wastefulness and stinginess. Proper pride stands between vanity and self-deprecation. This isn't simply advocating moderation in all things. The mean is relative to our circumstances. The right amount of food for an Olympic athlete differs from what's appropriate for a sedentary person. The right level of anger depends on the situation. Mild irritation might be excessive for trivial matters, but insufficient when witnessing injustice. Finding this balance requires practice and self-awareness. We must recognize our natural tendencies and deliberately pull in the opposite direction, like straightening warped wood. If we tend toward cowardice, we should push toward bolder actions. If naturally quick-tempered, we must practice restraint until moderation becomes natural. Aristotle's approach is nuanced because virtue involves not just right action, but right feeling. The truly virtuous person doesn't merely act courageously while terrified. They feel appropriate levels of fear and confidence. They take pleasure in generosity rather than giving grudgingly. Have you ever wondered why some people consistently make wise decisions while others sabotage themselves? Aristotle explains that virtue isn't innate, it's cultivated through practice. We become just by doing just acts, temperate by doing temperate acts, brave by doing brave acts. Each choice either strengthens or weakens our character, like water carving a canyon. This raises questions about responsibility. Are we accountable for becoming who we are? Aristotle answers yes. Though we don't choose actions in isolation, our repeated choices form our character. Once formed, character becomes difficult to change, like a thrown stone that can't be recalled mid-flight. Aristotle identifies four character types: the virtuous person with harmonized desires and reason, the continent person who experiences contrary desires but follows reason, the incontinent person who knows what's right but fails when tempted, and the vicious person whose reason is corrupted. In cases of incontinence, knowledge becomes temporarily inactive, like knowledge possessed by someone drunk or asleep. The dieter might recite health principles, like an actor reciting lines, without engaging their meaning when tempted. This explains why information alone often fails to change behavior. Knowledge must be internalized and activated at the moment of choice. Why do some brilliant people make terrible ethical choices? Aristotle's concept of practical wisdom, phronesis, explains this paradox. Unlike theoretical knowledge or technical skill, practical wisdom guides action, determining the right thing to do in specific circumstances. A doctor might possess extensive medical knowledge, yet show poor judgment about when to apply treatments. Practical wisdom bridges the gap between general principles and particular judgments. When deciding whether to tell a difficult truth to a friend, the practically wise person considers not just abstract principles about honesty, but also the friend's emotional state, potential consequences, and the relationship's history. They determine not just whether to speak, but when, how, and in what context. This wisdom develops through experience, reflection, and learning from exemplars. It combines perception, deliberation, and sound judgment. In our algorithm-obsessed culture, Aristotle reminds us that ethical expertise resembles artistic mastery more than mathematical precision. Without friends, no one would choose to live, though they possessed all other goods. This claim highlights friendship's central importance in Aristotle's ethics. Unlike modern philosophy that often treats relationships as secondary to individual rights, Aristotle sees deep friendship as essential to human flourishing. Aristotle identifies three types of friendship: utility, business associates enjoying mutual benefits; pleasure, companions enjoying each other's company; and virtue. The first two dissolve when circumstances change. Only virtue-based friendship, where we love others for their character, achieves the highest form, complete, stable, and intrinsically valuable. Friendship involves activity, not just feeling. True friends actively share their lives. The essence of friendship is living together, Aristotle writes, not necessarily cohabiting, but engaging in shared activities and conversations. This explains why separations weaken bonds. They lack the ongoing experiences that sustain relationships. In our digital age, where friendship often means merely social media connection, Aristotle's emphasis on shared activity and mutual character development reminds us that true friendship requires time, vulnerability, and shared values beyond occasional text exchanges. In the Ethics Culmination, Aristotle identifies contemplation, theoria, understanding fundamental truths, as the highest human good. This activity most resembles divine activity, engages our reason, and possesses happiness's essential qualities: self-sufficiency, continuity, and intrinsic value. This conclusion might seem surprising given the ethics focus on practical virtue. Yet Aristotle doesn't abandon moral virtue, but positions it as necessary, though secondary. The contemplative life requires moral virtue as its foundation, providing the stability and social harmony needed for sustained theoretical reflection. While ethical action remains essential, our highest fulfillment comes through developing our distinctly human capacity for understanding, whether through philosophical reflection, scientific inquiry, or artistic appreciation, representing the fullest expression of our rational nature. Aristotle's ethics offers no simple formulas, but provides conceptual tools for developing judgment to navigate life's complexities. The good life isn't something we find, but create through our choices and actions. Happiness is an activity, the ongoing exercise of our human capacities guided by virtue and practical wisdom. In our fragmented modern world, Aristotle's integrated vision of human flourishing offers a holistic alternative to ethics reduced to personal preference or abstract principles. By reconnecting virtue with happiness, character with action, and individual with community, the Nicomachean ethics continues to illuminate the path toward the good life. Taking Aristotle's insights seriously means recognizing that character matters more than achievement. Wisdom exceeds mere knowledge, and genuine flourishing requires both ethical and intellectual development. In a culture obsessed with external success and momentary pleasure, this ancient wisdom reminds us that the truly good life emerges through cultivating virtue, practicing wisdom, and pursuing understanding.